to throw. Has time over the middle, intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20, needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time, Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Happy Friday. It's always good when you get a Friday here. Weekend on the horizon. And I figured a thing that would make sense to talk about this morning would be the Giants wide receiver position, considering Victor Cruz's continued absence, his inability to come to a contract agreement with the New York Giants. And then, of course, you have Hakeem Nicks missing yet another OTA. We could talk about that, too, and I'll touch on that in a second. But basically what yesterday turned into in the locker room when the media was in there was that everyone's going to talk to all the wide receivers that aren't Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz and kind of see where they're at and how they're doing. And one thing that struck me, at least from Eli Manning, and usually, you know, Eli will talk generically, but he chooses his words carefully. And what he said about Lewis Murphy, I thought, was actually somewhat telling. He was very positive about him, his work ethic, how well he's adjusting to the offense, and really how the two are clicking and working well together. And I think that's a pretty good sign for a guy that just got here, has great speed. And if him and Eli can figure things out in terms of reading each other's body languages, reading the coverage, sight adjustments, he could be a pretty big factor this year and maybe even challenge Ruben Randall for that third spot. That being said, Coach Coffin had good things to say about Ruben Randall. And Eli Manning had some pretty decent things to say about the young man, too, that he's progressing, he's getting better. So I think the Giants are set up pretty well depth-wise at wide receiver. Throwing Jarrell Jernigan, who had a hamstring issue yesterday. He says it's not a problem. I doubt though he'll be out there today. They'll probably rest that hamstring a little bit. And the Giants, and re-signing Ramsey's Barn, we talked about that. Brandon Collins, a young guy that I know the Giants were very leery of letting go last year. And maybe he'll end up sticking around this season. But the Giants are pretty well stacked in wide receiver. They got that. They have guys that can play here. And I really don't think it's a thing about them hedging their bets for Cruz and Nicks, because I really think both guys are going to be here and playing next year. That, to me, is not going to be a question. But they are fairly well stacked in terms of wide receivers. Granted, nobody's as good as their top two guys. They're going to step in and replace them. But it's not like you're rolling out, you know, guys off the street either. And I think that's important, especially in this offense that's notoriously complicated. Kevin Gilbride's system is hard for guys to pick up. And if you have these guys in here early, figuring this stuff out, learning, then if they have to step in and play, they can do so. So I think it's very important for the Giants to get that done. Another reason I want to talk wide receivers today, a couple days ago, Steve Smith, former Giants second-round pick back in 2007, announced his retirement, and it's amazing. It was in 2008 where Steve had that monster year. Then he tore up his knee in 2010, and he hasn't been the same since. Tried to play with the Rams, tried to play with the Eagles, and recently picked up with the Tampa Bay Bucks, hoping to reunite with maybe Mike Sullivan, would renew his career, and he announced his retirement. I guess he just couldn't get that knee healthy. He made a decent amount of money in his career between the final season of his rookie contract and then, of course, his one-year contract with the Eagles after leaving the Giants. He probably made guaranteed. He probably made around $5 million in his career, Steve. So hopefully he did the wise thing, save that, has that around, then he should be able to live comfortably until he figures out what his next career is going to be. But always sad when you see a very talented young man and a good kid have an injury derail a very promising career. We were talking to Aaron Ross in the locker room about that yesterday, and he was talking a little bit about how he hadn't heard the news yet, actually, when we told him about it. And he was like, wow, I got to call him. I got to see what's going on. And it's funny. He goes, look, 7 years in the NFL, it seems short when you're around him. And you think of Steve Smith still coming in as a rookie. I was here in 2007 when he got drafted. He's a young kid, you know, wide-eyed, figuring things out. But a 7-year career in the NFL is actually a pretty long career by today's standards. You know, not for long. That's what the NFL stands for. So tough to see a guy with so much promise come up short and, of course, suffer that injury right before his contract, his rookie contract expired. He could have really cashed in. So, obviously, Steve Smith retiring, I thought was kind of interesting to look back at his Giants career. If you guys want to call in with some great Steve Smith moments, of course, he had that big conversion in the Super Bowl back in Super Bowl 42. So anything you want to talk about, you can give us a call at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Or you can send in your questions and comments on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to our phone to say what's up to Shakes down in Baltimore. What's up, Shakes?
What's going on?
What's up, dude?
Yeah, you brought up that Steve Smith, and I was going to bring it up because I was very – when we drafted him, I wanted Dwayne Jarrett. I really did because I wanted that big guy.
And Jarrett went in the first round to the Panthers that year, if I recall.
No, he went in the second round.
No, it was the second round.
Yes. So, and I wanted Jarrett, and I was mad we got Steve Smith. And then when we got him, I was so in love. Like, yo, yeah, like he's so reliable. And he came up big for us because that was his rookie season when we won the Super Bowl. Yeah. And he came up big for us, and then when his contract came up, I was mad that, of course, he goes to the Eagles like Kenny Phillips did. It made me real mad. But it's sad. It's a sad day in Giants history. But Steve Smith, I wish you the best of luck. I wanted to bring up what you were saying about Demetrius Moore yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
As you were saying, where he's a third-round pick. I'm telling you. He's going to be a monster. He's going to be a monster. It's actually a guy that plays with him that's around my neighborhood right now, and he practiced with him every day. He's an offensive lineman. And he says, man, we really got a good player. So I'm telling you, you need to be big on the monster now.
Okay, wait. Shakes, hold on. So Aaron Curry is going to be a Pro Bowler. Demetrius Moore is going to be unblockable. That means the Giants win, what, like 14, 15 games, you figure? I mean, come on.
We win in 11. I know we win in 11.
Oh, man.
And I have some questions, though.
What's up?
Because I'm kind of high on somebody else, too, that I never really even spoke of, and that's the undrafted free agent cornerback Charles James. I heard he had, like, an interception that was very impressive. I wanted you to shed some light on that.
I honestly didn't see the pick yesterday during practice. He might have had one. I was kind of in and out. But look, Shakes, these are OTAs, man. These guys aren't even wearing pads. You can't bump in. You can't even run bump and run coverage because there's no contact.
I need a fix. You got to keep me up with the football fix. I'm dying here, so it's not even June yet.
No, I hear you. Look, it'll be a little more interesting 2 weeks when we got minicamp, and then training camp's really just around the corner. And then, trust me, by the fifth, sixth day of training camp, everybody's saying, man, we need a preseason game so we can see these guys play against somebody not in practice. So, and then you get to the end of August, like, can these guys get to the regular season already? I'm tired of watching practice. So, there's always a progression, and really, you're not going to know anything until you get into games.
I'm sorry. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Chicks.
With the reports that I've seen, they were saying, and I know it's only OTAs like you just said,
yep.
But they said that C-Webb, you know, Corey Webster, was struggling while Prince was stepping up. So you think that Prince is going to overlap C-Webb and take over the number one spot?
Well, yeah, yesterday from what I saw and from what people were reporting, it was a day that was kind of won by the defense. But, again, think of it this way. This is a practice where you don't have your two best wide receivers in there. They're covering the likes of, you know, Murphy, Jernigan, and Randall. Frankly, if you have your number one DBs out there, they should be doing a good job against that group of wide receivers. And usually the earlier you are in these things, whether it's training camp or OTAs, the defense is usually ahead of the offense early on. And Prince did make some nice plays yesterday. But look, Corey Webster's been in this league for a long time. I wouldn't judge his prospects on this season based on what he's doing in an unpadded practice in May.
Yeah, but it's not a good sign. You getting burnt by Lewis Murphy early on in OTAs. Like that's not a good sign. Come on, C-Webb.
I hear you, Shakes.
And what you think about Bosworth, Lil Bosworth?
You know what? I actually think Bosworth is a pretty good signing. To me, that should light a fire under a guy like Herzlick. Because Bosworth's a guy that can play all three linebacker positions. He's a very good special teams player. And he's really a nice, down-to-earth kid, too. I was very impressed with his demeanor in the locker room. Not the biggest guy in the world. Herzlick's got a little size on him. But I think Bosworth could be that, you know, Chase Blackburn utility type of linebacker that's going to give you something on special teams. And I don't know. I just had a good feeling talking to him yesterday. So I'm not saying he's going to be a starter. He's going to be an impact player.
Yeah,
but he could be a useful guy to have on your active roster on any given Sunday.
They said in Jacksonville he was a special teams demon, like
an ace.
So, yeah, I think it's a good pickup because we do need somebody to fill that void from Chase Blackburn.
So, appreciate it, Shakes.
My call, man. Y'all have a good one.
Hey, you too. Have a good weekend, Shakes. Appreciate it. See, people like Tino getting everybody all excited. Look, I'm not saying DeMonte Moore is not going to be a good player. All I'm saying he's not going, his first year, going to be this unblockable pass rusher that dominates the NFL. That's all I'm saying. I want to touch real quick on the Knicks thing because I know there's some confusion out there. And quite frankly, I'm confused. This thing doesn't make any sense to me. The agents come out and said it's not a contract thing. Okay, that's fine. The agent has also come out and said, you know, we are respecting Hakeem Nicks's privacy. And he's fine, he's good, he's just not here. Yet Hakeem Nicks at the same time can inform the team that he's not going to show up and why he's not here. Something's got to give. Something's up. Because if this was a personal issue, a parent being sick, something else that he doesn't want out there in the media, just come out and say, it's a personal matter, it's a family matter, and I'm not going to be there. And if he calls the Giants and tells them that, they'll be cool with that. If he has to take some care of some stuff in his personal and family life, which, as we all know, is the most important stuff in everybody's world, that's cool. The Giants will be fine with it, but just tell them. Heck, yesterday, apparently Nicks told Coughlin he was going to be here. He doesn't show up. Seriously? Pick up a phone. You know, Justin Tuck said it at his pool event last night. You just have to understand the importance of communication. Tuck and Pierre Paul weren't there yesterday. That's fine. They told Coach, and he knew. So it was cool. But when you don't show up and you don't tell somebody that you're not going to show up and tell them why, you got a problem. It's not like somebody in the Giants organization is going to leak some kind of personal issue that Hakeem Nicks is having. If it is, in fact, a personal issue, nobody knows. That's why this is so odd. The fact that I don't need details. I just need an idea. Give a reason. Just don't make it like, you know, mystery theater here as to why you're not at OTAs. It's bizarre. And it doesn't help him. It doesn't help his image. It doesn't help him with the coaches. It doesn't help him trying to get back from that knee injury. And it doesn't help him prepare for the regular season. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's weird. 201-939-4513. JD's down in Virginia. JD, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
What's up, bud?
Nothing, man. How's your day been?
It's been okay. A little hot up here, but we're dealing with it.
Hey, good stuff. Well, as always, I like to throw the wild card and everything. First of all, thank you very much for the show. It's great. I appreciate it. Each and every opportunity I have to listen to the show is very informative in every way, shape, or form, talking about Big Blue football.
Thanks, JD.
Here's
I appreciate
another
it.
Plug. You're welcome.
Checks in the mail, baby.
Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. Don't send checks. Send tickets.
no problem.
My question is this, because anytime I have an opportunity to look at the little clips that are on Giants.com from the OTAs, whether it be the rookie ones or the ones that's going on right now, I keep on seeing flashes from this Brandon Collins person.
Yep.
And now, Brandon Collins to me definitely shows me as a slot speedster. Is there any way, because the Giants usually have they usually keep five receivers on the roster?
They'll keep five, and sometimes they'll have a six, but they'll only have five active on game days.
Okay, so do you actually see right now I'm asking you to put on your possible scout slash GM hat on.
Okay.
Because we already know that you're the correspondent and the voice next to the voice of Giants football. Brandon Collins, do you actually see him overtaking people like Ramsey Barden and Jarrell Jernigan?
I think I do
see him maybe a step little, if he's consistent and continues to learn and continues to get better, I actually do see him overtaking Jarrell Jernigan.
Well, honestly, I think he's ahead of Barden already. I mean, he was on this roster before Barden just got re-signed. So I don't think you have to worry about that. Now, Jernigan's a better question. And I think a lot of that, quite frankly, is going to have to do with whether or not they think Jernigan can participate and give them something on special teams. If they believe Jernigan can give them something in the return game, I think it's going to be hard to get him off that roster this year because I think they're trying to figure out solutions that doesn't have David Wilson returning kicks every single time down there. So
yeah.
I think if Jernigan can give them something on special teams and actually catch balls, which has been a problem, he'll stay ahead of Collins. But I'll tell you, Brandon Collins was in training camp last year, and he had a good camp. And they were very happy with him. They were very happy with the special teams play on coverage teams. And he came pretty close to, you know, making the team, and he was on and off the practice squad last year from time to time early in the season. So I think he has an outside shot, but he's going to have to earn his way and maybe get some help. He might need one of those top five wide receivers to get hurt and, you know, start the season on PUP or something like that. Not that he's rooting for it, but he might need a little bit of help to sneak onto
today?
The roster. Yeah, exactly. Oh, Jarrell, you didn't pull your hamstring there, did you?
Oh, man.
But yeah, but
yeah, and that ACL, boy, whoo, I see you coming.
Knock on wood right there, JD.
But, no, it's just something I've always seen. I'm just hoping that Jarrell Jernigan is not the next Sonoris Moss. Just kind of thinking outside the box a little bit, but
if you have a couple more years of Jarrell Jernigan without giving any production, Sonoris Moss is exactly what he's going to be.
Yeah, and I mean, all in all, just wanted to basically say, all in all, thank you very much for the show. It's greatly appreciated, and yeah, for those people that are basically starving for any kind of signs or just something, because people down here. Is when you're in Redskins, somewhere country, yeah, they always want to, yeah. You have those people that are brave enough to come to me in front of my home and tell me about Redskins stuff, and I'm like, do you see I have a Giants hat on? Do you see I have a Giants shirt on? And you want to talk to me about Redskins? But this is where I am. It happens. But listen, thank you very much for the time. Thank you very much for the show.
All right, JD.
And, when I got one last question.
Yeah,
when is Mr. Handling coming on?
You know, Pat has deemed himself off for the offseason. He will not be joining us again, I bet. I'll try to get him on during training camp before a preseason game. That's going to be tough, but we'll definitely have him back on at some point when the regular season gets here.
Got it. Hey, enjoy your day, sir. Thank you for the
time.
Hey,
thanks, JD. See?
Have a good one.
You too. See, this is we have more members of the Pat Hanlon fan club. We like that. Pat's much beloved. I think mostly because he rips me every time he comes on. Rips Lance even more. Dottino worst of all. But it's a good time. We miss Hanlon. The thing is, that I won't even know what to ask Hanlon. I could ask about the Nixon Cruz stuff, I guess. Maybe I'll try to get Hanlon on next week. I think that's going to fail miserably. But I'll try. I'll give it a shot. I'm sure he'll say something to me, use a couple choice words that can't be said on Giants.com, and then we'll be off. Oh, man. 201-939-4513. Jason's all the way out in Phoenix. Jason, what's up?
Nothing much. How's it going?
Good morning. How's it going, pal? I'm doing well.
Hey, pretty good. You know, Pat Hanlon, first of all, that guy is hilarious.
Yeah, he's the man. I love Pat.
All right. You know, last time I called in, I was talking about, you know, Justin Tuck's leadership. This time I want to talk about Hakeem Nicks's absence from camp.
Sure.
I think it's a pretty it's an interesting situation because I don't think it's as simple as why isn't Hakeem Nicks showing up. I think everybody knows he's looking out for his best interest. When they asked him at the beginning of the year if he learned anything from, you know, trying to play when he was injured, if there's anything he would do differently, he said that he doesn't regret what he did, but he said he definitely learned some things about the business aspect, as well as about the game. And I took that, at first I thought that may have been a coded message. They asked him about his contract, and, you know, he said that, you know, he doesn't talk about his contract in the media. So we wouldn't hear that anyways. I think that, you know, just knowing he came Knicks for all this time, you probably would be able to tell that he's not the kind of person that just puts all that kind of information out. I think, you know, he's coming off of an injury. He's in a contract year. Jerry Reese is not just going to dole out $10 million to a guy who has not been healthy. However, if he can prove he's healthy, he's definitely an extreme value to the Giants. So him being hurt last year in OTAs, I think that has a big reason. That's a big reason as to why he's not there today. You know, putting his body on the line, basically, you know, for no reason. It's just not a good business decision.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, but Knicks, I don't think, is even at a point with his knee where he's going to be out there on the field doing a lot of stuff. He's still in the rehab process, and wouldn't you rather have him here rehabbing with the Giants trainers than not here, not rehabbing with the Giants trainers?
Well, it depends. Ask Kenny Phillips. I mean, he didn't think it was a great job to get, you know, the rehab that he was getting with the Giants. And also, and another thing, just to, you know, kind of piggyback on that with the Steve Smith thing.
Yeah.
There was talk that there was a contract offered to him, you know, about $35 billion for, 5 years or so, about $7 million a year.
Yep.
Pretty much what they were trying to get out to Victor Cruz. And he turned that down, and, you know, his knee gets, you know, injured his knee. I think that would have been like a big season for us in 2009. You know, from that point, we see what has happened to Steve Smith. I think that all the Giants players still talk to him. I think that that has a big that has a lot to do with what's going on with Victor Cruz and pretty much how shrewd Hakeem Nicks is being on the business aspect regarding you know, his knee and showing up for OTA.
Well, look, first of all, I think the Steve Smith thing is a very good lesson for Victor Cruz on why it's a very risky proposition to play on that tender, because if you play on the tender, you get hurt, and then all of a sudden you don't have any – you have no guaranteed money to your name. Who knows if you ever recover? And your career might be over. So I think that's the lesson he should take from it. And if I was Victor Cruz, I just, you know, compromise a little bit, settle at 4 years, 32, $15 million guaranteed, and walk away and be very happy, smiling all the way to the bank. And then maybe in 4 years, he's only 25 years old, you get another big contract when you turn 29. So if I'm Victor Cruz, that's what I do. As for Hakeem Nicks, look, his agent says this is not about the contract. And he was here participating and in the workouts and, you know, and rehabbing his knee before the OTA started. So why just bail once the OTA started? It's weird. Something doesn't make any sense.
Well, he missed most of that time last year because, I mean, he broke his foot running a route. So I'm sure he would have been running routes if he was there. You know, so I think that when you combine that, of course, I totally agree with the Victor Cruz thing. He needs to sign because we have all the leverage in this situation.
Yep.
With Hakeem Nicks, it's not a contract issue because we are not going to give him a contract right now that he would accept. He knows that. We know it. This is a prove-it deal that he kind of – it's unavoidable. You know, he wound up in a prove-it situation. Not that we wanted him to be in that, but, hey, man, you can't stay healthy. So – you know, why show up to OTAs? Why do anything extra for a franchise who they're telling you, hey, we're not going to gamble on you. You need to prove it to us first. Us as Giants fans, we think he needs to show up. If I was a Hakeem Nicks, it's hard. I would have called someone, but how do you tell Coach Coughlin I'm not showing up because, you know, I don't really have a contract after this, and I'm not putting my, you know, career on the line right now.
No, I hear you. I appreciate the call.
All right, thanks.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Thanks, Jason. You know, I see where he's coming from, and Nicks did hurt himself around this time last year. But what does that mean? You don't work out then until the season, and you get hurt in training camp? I mean, look, I know it's optional. It doesn't have to be here, and that's fine. That's why no one's getting fined. No one's, you know, flying off the handle and going nuts. And if he can't make it, that's fine. No one has a problem with that. Just tell the Giants you're not going to be there ahead of time. Just don't not show up. Let me put it this way. If you make plans with somebody to go out and something comes up at the last second, you're supposed to meet them at a bar at 9 o'clock on a 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. Do you just not show up and leave your boy hanging? Or do you send him a text? Hey, man, sorry, something came up, can't make it. That's all I want. Send the text. If you don't want to give the reason you're not here, don't give a reason. I'll live with that. Just tell him, sorry, can't make it. Four words, sorry, can't make it. And do that a day in advance. That's all I'm asking for. Maybe I'll write back, why, question mark. You can write back personal stuff. That's the extent of the interaction I want. Is that asking too much? Is coach asking too much by wanting six words being texted back and forth? Six? I don't think so. Does he have to do this? No. Being a good teammate and a good player and a good member of this organization, maybe you should do a little bit better job communicating. And that's coming from his teammate Justin Tuck last night that said that too, by the way. That's not just me. That's not just a coach. That's a teammate that's saying that. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not killing him. I'm not saying you cut him and you suspend him, you fine him. You can't. It's optional. Just text somebody. That's all I'm asking. Final call of the show at 201-939-4513. Larry's in New Jersey. Larry, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning. Great show. I was just going to ask you about Ahmad Bradshaw, but talking about the Knicks, as I was listening to you, a friend of mine just called and said he couldn't make the 2:10 tee time. He didn't give me a reason, said I just can't make it, but I appreciated him calling me. I could work around that.
There you go, because worst comes to worst, you show up, you want to have a nice little twosome, play 18 holes of golf, and then you're stuck with yourself playing with the stranger, and your whole day's ruined.
That's it. So he called, but at least he called. He didn't call me at while I was on the golf course saying I couldn't make it. But I understand what you're saying about Nixon. Listen, the mini camp is coming, I guess, in 2 weeks where he has to be there. And maybe we'll find out what happened and we get more information on that. But on another thing, Ahmad Bradshaw, I haven't heard a word about him, his status. I don't think he was picked up by anybody.
Nope. Has he? Nope. He has not been, and he's visited a couple teams, and my guess, and the reason he hasn't signed anywhere, is that he's still not 100% healthy yet. And he's not, you know, until you get him into an MRI machine, until you get him into an X-ray, and you look at that foot, and you see it's 100% healed, no one's going to spend any money on him, which is why I think, and I still believe this, come end of July, if he can pass a physical, the Giants still need a veteran running back. I think the door is still very much open to Ahmad Bradshaw coming back next year.
Well, that was my next question. What are the chances of the Giants bringing him back? Because I've been watching some of the games from last year, you know, getting ready for football, and my God, he really played under extreme pain, and he was a player. Every game he showed up and he played hard. And
no question. Yeah, Bradshaw's a guy. No one's going to question his heart, his ability to play through pain, how much he cares. All that stuff is off the charts. The just question is, how effective can he be, and can he stay healthy?
So you figure maybe by the time camps start, maybe August, if his leg is good, Giants might take a look at him to see if they can bring him in.
Yeah, I mean,
as
I think
veteran for that running back.
Yeah, I think camp's going to start something like July 26th, something like that.
Right.
I think that's when players report. So yeah, I think they'd probably bring him in. You know, second, third week of July, they'll put him through tests, see where his foot's at, and if it's healthy, I wouldn't be shocked if they add him to the roster and they'll cut off one of these undrafted rookie free agents.
And just the last thing,
sure.
I think with Cruz, I think it's going to have to break during with the mini camp in a couple of weeks because he has to report then. So either report or he's a holdout. And like one of the callers said, the Giants have all the leverage with the his situation. And even next year, I guess, if they want to really play hardball, they could franchise him next year. So
yep.
He could be throwing a lot of money away.
Hey, look, Victor Cruz right now is zero leverage. He's a restricted free agent. I think he knows that. I think he's trying to stretch this out as long as possible, praying that the Giants are going to blink. I do not believe the Giants are going to blink. So in my opinion, how this is all going to resolve itself, I think he'll sign a contract probably sometime in mid-July before training camp starts. He'll be at training camp. But the way it's going now, my gut tells me something's not going to happen before mandatory minicamp. That's just my feel for it. I could be
right.
Wrong, but that's how I think this is going to conclude.
All you have to do is listen to Jerry Reese's comment about a month or so ago, maybe around draft, when he talked about Victor Cruz, and he said, listen, we want him here, but if he's not here, we're moving along. So, I mean, if Victor wants to know how the Giants stand, he just had to listen to what Jerry Reese said, and I think come minicamp, you'll see that he will sign that contract.
Appreciate the call.
Economic sense.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you very much. Great show.
Hey, thank you. Have a good one. And I agree.
I agree.
I think they'll figure it out. And I don't think Victor will play under the tender because of the Steve Smith story and potential for losing a lot of money. And I don't think he's a guy that's going to hold out. I don't see it. So I think he'll be here under a long-term deal. Here's the problem, though. Is he going to run into a situation where he's going to be like Osi, where he signs this long-term deal and then he's going to be annoyed about it in 2 years, and then he's going to hold out? But if he gets eight a year around, I mean, that's not that undervalued. It's really not. I mean, could he make, on the open market, could Victor Cruz make $10 million a year? Yeah, he could. But would he be in as good of a situation as he is here? Would he be with Eli Manning? No. And again, he could get another contract at 29 or 30 when he becomes a free agent again. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Great show. Good job on the phones. And excellent work. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. OTAs continue with the Giants. Maybe we'll get some news. Maybe we'll see a couple wide receivers in the house. We'll see. And have a good one. Should be a hot weekend. Go outside. Have a good one. Enjoy. We'll see you next week. 10 a.m. Monday morning. Giants.com.